Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
On March the 7th in 1984, that evening, I got right with God after about 12 to 14 years of insanity. But I realized something after all that was over with that night, and waking up the next morning and not waking up the same person, you know, that woke up the morning before. And I realized I was just 28 years old and pretty messed up from a very sinful life. But I realized I was going to have to live a spiritual life. That's the first thing that dawned on me, is that I was going to have to live a spiritual life, which really scared me. Because if I was around a lot of people that lived spiritual lives and saw a lot of failure in their life. And see, the enemy is very, how can I say this? He's very adept at getting you to get your eyes on other people and judging God by what other people do or do not receive. And that is one of the greatest traps of the devil. And if you allow him, he'll influence your life like that, and you'll put God in a box, and the devil will put you in a box, and you'll be in trouble your whole life. And you'll think you're living a spiritual life, but you're really just living a soulish life. So I realized that to live a spiritual life, I was going to have to learn something about the Bible. I wasn't just going to have to learn about it. I was going to have to learn to live in it. I mean, not like just, you know, some piece of literature that you enjoy reading or referring to every once in a while, but I'm talking about actually living within a document. You say, well, why would you say that? Because this is the only document you can live in. There's life in this book. I said, there's life in this book, and you can live in the life that's in this book. Amen. Amen. I knew I had to learn how to pray. I knew I had to learn how to communicate with God. I had to pray. I knew I had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I knew I had to be part of a church. You know, and I eventually, took me about 2 months, but I eventually found out I had to obey God when it came to His callings. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You say, what do you mean by that? He calls people. He don't care what they do or not. He cares, but He doesn't care. You obey it, you don't obey it, you're still called. You're still called, amen? So I began to realize that. I knew I was called to preach when I was at age 17. I remember sitting at tables back in the day when I was wild and crazy, and we would talk about the Bible or spiritual things, and I would always say this. I would say, when you see a lot of trouble over there in Israel, you better get right with God. I used to tell people that when I was stoned as they were, you know. Well, I knew that to be a truth. I knew that to be real. That, you know, if things are going on in the middle, you've got to understand, church, everything that's going on in the world right now has a spiritual root to it. There's a spiritual root to it, and that spiritual root is feeding whatever that is. The problem is most of that spiritual root is demonic and into the world system and into the demonic realm. That's why you're seeing so much evil, and that's why you're seeing, now notice this, you're seeing so much evil being accepted. Yeah. Amen? Now, I have lived now in the ministry for close to 40 years this coming year in 2024, and I've noticed, now my focus has not been on people in the world so much as people in the church, but I notice a lot of people in the church live in a very apathetic state spiritually, and they're able to, well, how can you say this, muster enough spirituality to maybe come to a church service or maybe read a Bible or maybe they've got a promise box at home and they pull a promise out. You know, you may remember those promise boxes, amen? And so, there's all kinds of things that people do, and I call it this, to patronize God. Just enough to pacify their own soul, thinking they're doing something right, when in reality they're away from God and in an apathetic state, when God wants you so on fire in these last days that He is putting a demand on you to be so on fire that when Jesus comes back, He has to take you off this earth. Now, if you're not in that state, what you going to do? You don't want to be here when we're gone. I said, you don't want to be here when we're gone. They say, well, I'll just come here and I'll start pastoring this church. Look, honey, if you can't serve God right now, when the Holy Ghost is here, when the Word of God and when ministry gifts are here, what makes you think you're going to serve God when all this is gone? It ain't going to happen. Today is the day. And I'm going to say this openly and unashamedly. There has been generations that have gone by where people could live for God in a much less way than is demanded of people now. I mean, there's people that have lived their lives out, born again, some of them filled with the Holy Ghost, some of them experienced some of the miracle, but they still never really caught a gear or caught fire. But listen, that demand is on us in the last days to live a spiritual life. Because if we don't live a spiritual life, we're going to get caught up by the things of the soul and the flesh. They're going to distract us. And I tell you, this is not a day to get distracted. This is a day to be focused on the things of God. Amen? Now, here in Galatians chapter 5, if you will, we'll start there and then probably go to Hebrews in just a moment. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Everybody say liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Amen. Now, every one of you in here, every one of you in here that Claim Island Church is any part of your life, there is a calling on you to serve. And we serve, you serve by coming to church, by participating, praising and worship. You serve by giving. You serve all of these. But then there's that next level of servitude that you're not doing right now that you need to find out, what do I do? How can I serve on another level? Because in so serving God or desiring to serve God on another level, you're going to literally hamstring the devil when it comes to distracting you. But as long as you're satisfied, you say, what do you mean? There's some people that just get satisfied. Honey, I ain't been satisfied for 40 years. And I have seen some awesome, awesome things. I've been in healing revivals of our own ministry that were just incredible. We've traveled the nations of the world. We've preached to huge, big crowds. I mean, we've seen the glory of God come into meetings in a cloud. I mean, we have just experienced the glory of God. But we can't live on that. That comes from the outflow of our life. Do you understand that? See, I was raised by Pastor John Osteen, and he taught us to live off the top of the barrel, not the bottom. You know, he taught us this. He said, you should never, because I got a lot of friends that agonize. A lot of my friends, their whole Saturday, they spend trying to find a message, trying to get a message, trying to, you know, what are you preaching on this week, Rusty? I never do that. I mean, I could preach the message anytime, anywhere, at any place. All you got to do is point at me and say, preach. You say, why? Because the preacher's in me. I'm always praying. I'm always studying. I'm always feeding myself. Therefore, I always have something to feed you. That's how I serve you. Amen? Now, notice. Let's go to the next verse. It says, for all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this is a key right here. Because a lot of people, that's just what they do. They love their neighbor as their self. They hate themselves. They hate their neighbor. That makes it kind of tough, doesn't it? You say, well, I really don't like myself too much, and I really don't like my neighbor. Well, you need a little adjustment in your life then. Many times we try to gather self-worth and vindication based on activity, relationship, when really the one that gives you your value and your worth is God. You want to find your own self-worth? You want to find your own self-value? See yourself in Christ. See yourself as an individual that God loves so much that He gave His only begotten Son for, that Son came down to this earth, lived a sinless life, did signs and wonders and miracles to reveal the nature of God, then did the most awesome, incredible thing that anybody could ever do, especially a God, and that was to take on the sins, the iniquity, and the sin, the depravity of an entire species of being and die and destroy its ability and then raised from the dead so it could put new life in that dead species of being. Amen. Listen, we're the only live people on the earth. Now, this is an awesome concept. You say, what do you mean? Everyone that does not know Jesus is dead. That does not mean they're in the graveyard. That means they are separated from God. And we're going to have to love ourselves as seeing ourselves valuable in the eyes of God so that God can love them through us. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed, be careful that you be not consumed one of another. It's easy to start a fight. It doesn't take much. Come on, church. It's easy to start a fight. It doesn't take much. But it's a lot harder to just walk in love. Amen. Not let your emotions, because we've always called anger a sudden rush of emotion. Amen. To control yourself by the Holy Ghost so you don't get in trouble. This I say. Now notice, walk in the Spirit. You know what that means? You're going to have to get a spiritual life. Now, we understand by the Word of God, you could go several different places, Thessalonians, Hebrews, we are a tripart being. God's a tri. He's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. You are spirit, soul, and body. And a lot of people, all they ever get out of life, they get it out of their spirit, out of their flesh. You know, they live for their body. A lot of people that all they ever going to get, they're going to have to get it physically. Then there are people that all they ever get, they're going to have to get it soulishly or mentally. Then there are people that are going to walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit. Can I get an amen? Now, you can develop, you can exercise your body and develop physical strength. Amen. And you can educate your soul, and you can develop incredible willpower or emotional strength. But if you'll develop your spirit will train your soul and train your flesh, and you will not live in bondage to your flesh or to your soul. Most Christians' problem is a flesh or soul problem. Amen. Now notice, this I say, walk in the Spirit, notice, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, your flesh does lust if you let it. Oh, come on, y'all are looking at me so spiritual. Your flesh can get out of control. Your flesh can go crazy. If you run your life by your flesh will bring you into excess. And your flesh literally will bring you into an excess that even common sense will tell you is crazy. That's what addictions are. I remember the first cigarette I smoked. I thought, what? I like to choke to death. I remember there was two or three of us after a church service. We were little church kids back then, so we'd find cigarette butts. We'd light them up and smoke them. So we were smoking one day, and a friend of mine found a cigar butt about that long. And you could just squeeze the juice out of it, you know. And he lit that thing up and just went and took a big old pull off of it. I thought we were going to have to take him to the hospital. He threw up. He turned white as a ghost. We thought he was dying. He finally came back around. We were all laughing at him, you know. We're such compassionate people. But I'm telling you, his physical body was telling him what? No. Then how do you turn into a two-pack-a-day smoker? Excess. See, the flesh will do that. It'll do it with alcohol. It'll do it with drugs. It'll do it with sleep. It'll do it with food. It'll do it with anything your flesh craves. It'll do it with sex. It'll do it with anything your flesh craves, your flesh desires to dominate your soul, dominate your spirit, and do something in itself where it can pacify itself at all times. Flesh is ugly. Flesh is dirt. Why do we get up in the morning and ask our dirt how we feel? We ought to tell our dirt how we feel, amen? Now notice, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That means it wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So your flesh wars against your spiritual life. Your flesh doesn't want to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. Your flesh wants to sleep in. Your flesh doesn't want to take time and read the Bible, doesn't want to come to prayer, doesn't want to give, doesn't want to do anything your spirit wants to do. You have to make your flesh. Amen. Now notice this. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Woo! If you're led of the Spirit, that means the Spirit of God is not going to lead you to do anything contrary to the law of God. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're not sweating the do's and don'ts. There's a lot. It's amazing how people that when they used to get close to the things of God, close to the things of the Spirit, the power of God would start to manifest. They would immediately go into legalism. Well, you can't cut your hair. They'd always do it to women, you know. You can't wear jewelry. You can't do this and that. And then the men look like peacocks, you know. And what they did is they allowed a spiritual move to stimulate their flesh, and their flesh took over, created a law. Well, you can't do that. Amen. Now notice. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. The first four are sexual sins. Amen. Now, you know, the human family thinks it's got a handle on sex, and they can do it anytime, anywhere, any way they want to. But in reality, do you know who invented it? There was an inventor. His name was God. His name is God. So if he invented it, he should know how it functions and within what confines it works or is protected the best. So he created something called marriage. And within the confines of marriage, sex works correctly. Outside of it, it gets what? Perverted. Amen? So the good news is, you don't have to be a pervert. You laugh, but you'd be surprised how many people are. And you've got to make a decision not to let your sexual appetite dominate you. That's a good word, Brother Rusty. Now notice this. Verse 20, idolatry. But notice the next one. Witchcraft. Did you know, I've heard people preach this, witchcraft is a deep spiritual sin. No, it's not. Look at your Bible. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. And witchcraft doesn't mean you have a pointed hat and a broom and a long green face. Who would we see that? We saw the last part of The Wizard of Oz last night. That's what I'm thinking about, a witch, you know. But that's not, witchcraft is not, you know, some human being figuring out some spiritual formula so that, no, here's witchcraft. Witchcraft is three different tenets which are pressed upon the human family. Intimidation for the purpose of manipulation, for the purpose of control. That's it. That's witchcraft right there. That's what sin does. That's what witchcraft, and that's amazing. Sometimes people say, you know, so-and-so is so controlling. You ever heard that about a person? Sometimes, many times, it's people in high positions of authority. You know, you ought to ask yourself, how'd they get into that position of control? Amen? I mean, I'm not trying to control anybody around here. My God, I can't hardly control myself. Then I married Leah. Try and control her if you think you can. Amen? No. My project of control is me. I don't want to try. I'm putting too much effort into me to want to control you. Amen? But that's what witchcraft is. And you don't, like I say, you don't have to have a pointed hat and ride a broom. There's a lot of people involved in witchcraft, even in the church. It's a work of the flesh. Amen? Hatred. Don't be hating. And, you know, a lot of people think hatred is, you know, when you hate somebody and want to, you know, kill them. That's not true. Did you know you can demonstrate hate just through separating yourself from someone? If God's called us to love, when we separate, that's hate. See, we're not willing to say that out loud, though, because there's a lot of people that leave churches and they think they're doing the right thing. I've always noticed this. People that leave churches that think they're doing the right thing always tell us this: we love you, 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 but we'll never see you again. I'm going to let that soak in a little bit. No, that's not love. That's not love. Love is to fight it out. Love is to get over your offense. Love is to forgive and forget. Love is to keep moving in the place where God has called you to move, not to get so offended that you take 10, 15, 20 years. And I've heard people, well, I just wasted my time. You did? Did you know that while you were here? Amen? I'm getting quiet in this Methodist church here this morning, isn't it? Do a little good pastoral preaching, everybody gets real quiet, amen? But it's the truth. It'll keep you safe. Don't hate. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Well, they make me so mad, I don't like them. Give them something nice that costs you money, and then pray for them for a month, and I guarantee there will be no hate in you at all. I'm just trying to help you. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So, you know, if you didn't fit in the other categories, then we put "and such like" in there for you. Amen. "And such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Now notice, fruit, everybody say fruit.
Fruit.
But with the flesh, it's works. But with the Spirit, it's what? Fruit. That means it's got to be grown, it's got to be developed, it's got to be harvested. So you need to what? You need to grow in love. Listen to this. This is so good. You need to grow in love. Everybody say grow in love.
Grow.
You find it here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Everybody say joy. You need to grow in joy. Peace. Everybody say peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there's no law. Do you get that? Against such, there's no do's and don'ts. Against such, there's no standards of behavior. Because if this is your attitude, if this is your heart, if you're living by the Spirit, then this is what you're going to be manifesting. This is what is God's glory coming out of you. You're going to be loving people. You're going to be, you're not, look at all of this, what it says, going to be fruits of the Spirit. Long suffering. I tell you, I don't know how much longer I can put up with this. You need a little long suffering. Amen. Gentleness. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All of these things, there are. Listen, when you plant a tree, a fig tree or something, you don't go out there and beg it for fruit. Oh, please, I need some figs. I'm going to make some fig jam for Pastor Rusty, please. In case anybody has a fig tree, amen. You don't do that. Listen, church, you know that. Once it's put into the ground, or once the seed is put into the ground, the thing growing, coming up out of the ground, the thing spreading its leaves and its branches, and the fruit being produced is automatic. That's the Hebrew word. Automatic. It means this. It happens of itself. Did you get that? It happens of itself. So every time you come to Island Church, I'm doing everything I can do to plant seeds of what? Love. Come on. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm doing my best to plant those seeds in you, sowing the word, so that the plant can come up. The fruit can be produced. It's automatic. All you have to do is back up in the chapter and see, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, it's going to nullify your harvest. Now listen, when I was praying this morning, this just popped into me and I wondered, why did that pop into me? Now I know why. You can cancel any negative harvest of bad seed you have planted. You need to hear that again, church. You say, Pastor, I tell you, I've planted some seeds in my flesh. I don't know what's going to happen. You need to get up in your faith and you need to make a declaration and say, in the name of Jesus, I am born again. I have new seed in new soil and the old seed of my flesh and lifestyle. I cancel that in the name of Jesus. And devil, you can't hold it against me because I remind you of your defeat 2,000 years ago. I remind you of the blood of Jesus which has cleansed me and how God sees me. He doesn't see me as a poor old sinner saved by grace. He sees me as one of his very own children. You got to learn how to talk to the devil or he's going to torment your mind with thoughts of inadequacy and fleshly thoughts and soulish thoughts that'll take you out of the realm of the Spirit. Amen? Oh, that's good stuff. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Vainglory is glory you produce for yourself. Amen. Listen, any prayer that you pray, you do not have to answer. Let me say that again. Somebody really needs, the light needs to come on over your head when I said that. Any prayer you pray, you don't need to answer. You say, what do you mean by that? There are people that pray prayers and then they get busy trying to answer it. Didn't you pray to God to answer that? Didn't you pray? Listen, there's such a rest when faith truly takes hold and you confess that word and you speak it into a situation and you spend your days worshiping God, thanking God for that word coming to pass because He watches over His word to perform it. You're not waiting for the performance. You're living in the promise, being fully persuaded by what that word says, and you're just living right there. The promise, the persuasion. The promise, next thing you know, God performs. Amen? Now, that happens by you walking in the Spirit and walking these things out by the Spirit. Now, go quickly. Hebrews, I'll do that, Lord. He just reminded me. I looked it up in my Passion Bible. Let me read the scripture in Galatians in my Passion Bible. Beloved ones, God has called us to a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Boy, that's a good word. Freedom means that we are become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do. Wow. For love completes the laws of God. All the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate your love to your neighbor even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize, come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him from living free within you. Woo! You want Him free. I said, you want Him free, amen? And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incomparable and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. Now, I recognize that very quickly. March the 8th, 1984. March the 7th, I got right with God. March the 8th, I had to stay right with God. March the 9th, I had to stay right with God. March the 10th, I had to stay right with God. 1985, I had to stay right with God. 1986, see what I'm saying? Once it starts, if you allow it, it's an automatic, perpetual thing in your life. As you yield to it, the more it brings you in and sweeps you in. But you have to understand, church, there's something in you that resists it. Amen. Now, let me finish it here in the Passion Bible. But when you are brought into the full freedom of spiritual grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, soaring above it. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums. Come on, underline. Where's my pen? Angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. Boy, it's starting to meddle here, isn't it? Being envious of the blessings of others, that all leads to murder, uncontrolled addiction, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Pretty much identifies it, doesn't it? Haven't I already warned you that those who lose their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love. In all its varied expressions, joy that overflows. I've noticed a lot of people have joy, but they have just enough where it comes right up to the top, but it never overflows. You ever seen anyone overflow with joy? I mean, if somebody walked up to you on the street and said this, "I have joy." You may think, "I wonder what joy is." Amen. But if someone come up and was like, "Woo, I've got joy," you'd probably think, "You know, he's got something." Amen. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that endures, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Whoa! Limitless love, limitless joy, limitless peace, limitless kindness, limitless virtue, faith, gentleness. God says, "I've put no restriction how much you want, how much you need." Wow. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Messiah. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after Him. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. Wow. You know, so many people strive for an individual expression of who they are when it comes to freedom. Many of them, they're trying to express gender, race, education, you name it. If somebody makes a lot of money, they try to put that out in front and say, "This is who I am." In reality, that's not who they are. That's what they've produced. But see, in the kingdom of God, one thing that ends up happening to you in the kingdom of God, especially in a church setting, is you kind of get stripped down. Because you're put in a situation where people you would have probably never trusted for anything in your life end up in places of authority and you don't know how they got there. That's called grace. That's called the grace of God. Because God's got a plan for every person, and if you follow that path of righteousness, it will put you in a place that the world says you're never supposed to be in. Amen? I mean, you know, you take a minister like me, and even though I've got 40 years of experience in ministry, there are people that won't come to this church because I don't have a degree. I got a little more than a degree. Amen? But see, that's the thing, is the world always looks for its own standards. When the Word says, "I'm going to take the foolish things and the fools of this world and I'm going to raise them up, anoint them," and they'll know when they're up there preaching, when they're up there ministering, everybody knows, that's God. Now, that's God that did that. They'll have to admit, now that's God that did that. Amen. Now that's what God delights in all of our lives, is to raise us up to where people see us. They go, "Well, that's God." Remember Peter on the day of Pentecost? Everybody knew. Everybody knew. That gruff fisherman, he had denied Jesus. He had been a failure. He had totally blown it when it came to serving God. So why did God choose him to preach the first message of the church? It's because when he got up and preached, everybody knew that must not be Peter. That must be God. God delights in that. That's how he operates. That's how his kingdom operates. He makes you so much more than what you could ever make yourself. Hallelujah. Now go to Hebrews. How's my time? Oh, my goodness. Where does the time go? Hebrews, real quick. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me get in my King James here. How many like the book of Hebrews? I love it. I could live there. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Verse 12, book of Hebrews. "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder, the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, The thing I had to learn in living a spiritual life, my flesh had dominated me for so long. And when you let your flesh dominate you for a long time, iniquity trains your flesh. That's what it does. So you end up getting born again, but your flesh doesn't get born again, and your soul doesn't get born again. So your flesh is still craving what it craves, and your soul is still thinking in line with what your flesh craves. Which proves that the new birth is even stronger than that. You say, why? Because many people that have been born again have instantly been delivered from addictions and all kinds of problems and went on and served God. Millions have. Showing you the power of the new birth, what it can do in a person's life. Now, if you're struggling, you say, well, Pastor, I'll tell you, I got saved a long time ago, but my life has just really been kind of miserable because I've really been trying to fight all these desires and all these things that used to be in my life. I really desire them and I want to do them, but when you teach and you preach, I know that it's wrong. I should not be doing that. What am I going to do? First of all, you got to realize that whatever has power over you, you've given it the power. Let me say that again. Whatever has power over you, you've given it the power. That means only you can take it away. Right. Well, I want God to take it away. Well, He'll give you the tools you need. See, that's most people's problem. Well, I want God to do it. I want God to do it. Well, God's already done it. So thank God, I know because of the prayers of my parents and the prayers of many others, some of the right information started getting to me, especially about who I was, what I could do, and what I have in Christ. And I learned in my mind, the devil will use it as a theater to just blast your past and blow. If you let him, he'll do it. I had to learn to talk to nothing. To the unseen realm, because that's where all that junk comes from, church. And if you don't learn to address that realm with the Word of God, which is a what? Two-edged sword. Now, we've talked about for years how the sword will cut coming and going, but you got to realize this. The real dynamic of the two-edged sword is the sharpened side of God and the sharpened side of you. That means His Word in your mouth is what? A two-edged sword. It will cut coming and going, and it will cut out of your life what needs to be cut out of your life so that you can live with your flesh and live with your soul in a spiritual way, and it will also defeat the devil, but you've got to add your sharp to it. For the Word of God is what? Quick, which means what? Alive. And what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides, notice, asunder that which is the spirit, soul, and flesh. But Pastor, how do I know if something's of the spirit? The word will show you. How will I know if something's of my flesh? The word will show you. How will I know if something's of my soul? The word will show you. First of all, a lot of people, even very educated people, if you ask them, what is your soul? They wouldn't even know. You know, I'm amazed. I had some exposure to the psychiatric community when I was wild and crazy, and I could not believe those guys. I couldn't believe it. They are literally, and I knew this when I was wild and crazy. They were trying to make soulish adjustments when the spirit's messed up. That's why of all of the different disciplines of medicine, the psychiatrist stands at the top when it comes to suicide. Because he can't figure out, well, I've done this and I've counseled and I've given them prescriptions and we've done this and we've done that and they're worse off. What's going on? Well, that's a spiritual problem right there. Because in reality, God gives us the answer in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we need to present our body a living sacrifice, renew our mind, and then we'll do what? We'll prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And let me say this. Because when a lot of people are presented with the challenge of living a life in the Spirit, they think it's difficult. Let me say something to you. What's difficult is to know that you should be doing it and not do it. That's where the difficulty comes. When you start doing it, it gets easy and easier and easier and easier and easier and easier. You say, why? Because God has given you a helper called the Holy Ghost. Yeah. and He will help you renew your mind. He will help you present your body. He'll help you get all that negative thinking out, and He'll help you come to terms with your past. It took me about 20 years to make peace with my past. It took me about 20 years to make peace with my past. You say, what do you mean by making peace with your past? It doesn't bother me anymore. I don't live in the regrets of it. Sure, I would have loved to have, 1974, God called me to preach. 1974, Brother Hagin started Rhema. I should have been in the first year. I should have been with Mark Brzee at Rhema. But I wasn't. Amen. I wasn't for 11 more years. But here's the thing. All you need to do is start somewhere. And if I could start by just praying a prayer with Billy Graham on a TV, praying over a TV program, and there be enough anointing and power in that to keep me going for almost 40 years now, well, then you ought to understand, it's not staying in it, it's getting going. Because what you get going in the lifestyle, you'll never turn back. There's too much glory. There's too much blessing. I mean, if you were to ask me to explain how Lee and I actually even live, I couldn't even explain it. You say, why? Because we live by faith. It's beyond the comprehension of the senses. So the Word of God, this is where I want to conclude today. Ooh, my time's up. You must begin, like never before, to value the Word of God in your life as the standard of how you're going to live. Amen. If you will do that, then all the other components necessary. Listen, God has equipped us. When I begin to think about what God has given, He's given us the power, the very same power of the Word that He enjoys. You say, what do you mean by that? Because God does not, He does not empower His Word. You understand that? God does not empower His Word. I don't know why this dynamic works this way. He's God. He's got it all figured out. I just understand it. Yeah. His power does not release. His Word releases His power. His Word is His power. His Word is His power. It's not the power of the Word. It's the Word of power. It's the Word. Now, when you think about that, you think about, there's a book right there, the Bible, the Word of God. So if the Word of God and the power of God are synonymous, then you have the power of God sitting right there in your lap. All the power of God right there in your lap. Amen. So if God gave us that and did not give us the understanding of faith, how that power is released, He'd be unjust. But the Bible's full of instruction, of illustration, of information, of inspiration, and everything else that you need. And I remember one time one preacher we knew, Rudy Vitacci, he was preaching on faith, and he could only come to one conclusion. He said, I can, and he was a screamer. He could preach and scream like you wouldn't believe. He could take one breath and preach for an hour. He was so cool. His conclusion to a powerful message on faith was this. He started like this. It works. 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 Time and time and time and time and time and time again. It works. It works. It works. It works. You say, it don't work for me. That's why. You don't understand that principle. When you say, it doesn't work for me, boom, you just flip the switch off right there. You just flipped it off. But it works. I said, it works. It works in your finances. It works in your health. It'll work in your marriage. It'll work in your job. It'll work in your business. It works in your relationship. It'll work in your hobbies. In anything you want to apply your spiritual life to, it works. It works. It works. It works. It works. And there's always some, poor old beat up. But I tell you, I tried it and it didn't work. That's the problem. You tried it. You say, what do you mean? I want to try Jesus. It don't work like that. The Bible says in the book of James to be a what? A doer of the Word. Most people become very double-minded. They want to do the Word. They hear the Word. Instead of having revelation, they have inspiration. Yeah. You say, what do you mean? Let me help you. Inspiration is when the Word is half digested. The other night, we were at prayer. And then so we made the smart idea to go eat pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't that late, but it might as well have been. And so, that night I wrestled with pizza all night long. My choice. Amen? But you've got to understand something, church. The Word of God as you make a decision, see, I decided to expose myself to a piece of pizza too late at night, knowing what it was going to do. And it did exactly what I expected. But the Word is the same way. It's your exposure to it and your willingness not just to sit here and let it splash on your face. And you walk out and shake yourself real good and go, you know, like a dog. And you think, oh, man, got all that off me now. I can go back to bed. You'd be surprised how many people do that. No, you can't. Listen, you can't try. I remember when Lee and I got married, I was standing in front of a preacher and said, will you take Leah to be your lawfully wedded wife? I could imagine what she would have done to me if I would have said, well, you know, I'll give it a good try there, you know. I'll give it a good old college try, you know. I had to do it. I had to say, I do. Amen. I do. I did. Now we do. We ain't tried yet, have we, darling? Same way with the Word. You got to make a decision. I'm going into this, and I'm going to tell you something. Let me help you. With me, when I went into it, I faced nothing but opposition. Opposition from the devil. Opposition from a lot of the spiritual crowd. Opposition from my past. But here's what I did. I kept looking and I kept seeking and I kept knocking and I kept asking and I kept praying till I found people who were willing to deposit into me. Amen. I mean, people that looked, they did exactly what the Word said. When I came into their life, they looked at me higher than they looked at themselves. And they put into me which I could not put into myself. They educated me. They showed me through information and inspiration, and then they lived out their lives in front of me and showed me, this works. This is the only way to live on this earth. This works. This is the only way to live on this earth. This is what, and listen, let me tell you one little good bit of advice and we'll close. It's not only the only way to live, it's the only way to die. Amen. You don't want to die any other way than in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for a spiritual walk for every person that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of our flesh. Thank you as we leave today for protection, safety, holiday week like this, Lord. We thank you that the entire church is surrounded with faith and love. Lord, as we travel the highways, airways, seaways, any other way of travel or transportation, people involved in recreation and fellowship with their families, we declare divine protection and blessing. Doors of utterance like never before. Let these perilous times, let them be a battering ram for the door of utterance for our loved ones, our family, friends, neighbors that we've known for a long time and not have yet been able to reach them with the gospel. Let that door be open. Let the fire of evangelism be sparked in us. Let us be a blessing to the people, a problem to the devil, a miracle in the lives of individuals. Father, we leave today walking in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We walk in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.